So everybody can see me, right? If I'm just kind of in this area here. So this morning's the Lord's Supper. This is communion, and it's, we all kind of have this idea of the Lord's Supper from whatever traditions we come from. If it's a high church, it's the focus of the service, and it's where you come to meet God in a very holy, intimate way. In Protestants, it also has that as well, but it's also often seen in relationship to getting right with God and getting right with others, I think. So I was just thinking about what's been going on lately. I am a historian at heart. That was going to be my degree at university, but I ended up in film because I guess it was where God led me. But I was still a historian at heart. And so I like to look for patterns in life, patterns in history. I like to follow the breadcrumbs where things happen and why do they happen. And they're often tied into relationships. And we're talking about relationships among countries, governments, peoples. And, I mean, that's what the Bible is, right? It's this long history of relationships. It starts with Adam and Eve. And you have this whole idea of their relationship with God that's broken. And then you have Abraham. God starts this relationship. And out of that comes the Jewish people and that covenant. And it just continues on. And then in the New Testament, we have the relationships that start with the non-Jews through Jesus, the Gentiles, the nations that enter into this relationship. And history is just kind of spread out from all of these relationships, all of our wars, all of our fighting, all of our everything is connected to how these relationships function. So I just want to give a little history quickly about what's happened the last 4 months. Okay, so this might sound strange, but February 22nd, it was a Shabbat here. It was Randall Booth's 70th birthday. Who was here? Was anybody here? Okay, so about half of us. And we had just started a series that week on Jesus as the suffering Messiah. And as Jesus is coming up to Jerusalem as this sacrifice and what his suffering meant. And that day at church, there had been all this news about this virus in Wuhan, and hundreds, even thousands are being killed, and it's going into northern Italy, and it was in Iran, and you're just hearing terrible things. And we're having our service, and we're starting to talk about redemptive suffering. The next Shabbat was February 29th. What's special about February 29th? It was a leap year, right? So when was the last time that a Shabbat fell on February 29th? I had to look it up, but every 28 years. So it was 1992, there was a Shabbat service in this chapel. That's just for fun. And so after that service, we're all cleaning up. Valerie was here, and Danny and Eva, and me and Sharon. And there was this Jewish guy with a kippah who came in, and he was just kind of acting a little strange. He was kind of quiet. He was asking a couple questions, and he kind of walked outside. He picked up a big rock from our flower bed, and Tzemach, my youngest son, he was 4 at the time, was playing by the door, and then he left, because that's what 4-year-olds do. They don't stay in one place for long. And then that rock came through the door, and Eva was right there with a broom in her hand, you know, sweeping, and the rock hit Eva, and right, Eva? I'm not making this up. And, it hurt. But there was just this kind of shock, what just happened. And then Danny was like, you know, it's kind of like, there's a video of this. This is like from, we have it to look at. You know, he's like, he's also in shock. Like, what just happened? And I was in here, and I heard the rock, and I was talking or cleaning or something. And then I just like ran outside, and then this guy started running. Danny pulls out his phone because that's what Danny's good at. He's good at phones. And so I'm like running really hard, and this guy's running. And so we run down this road, and I don't even know why I'm running. I just know I heard something, and he's running, so I'm running. And Danny's on his phone, and he's kind of there, and I'm just running, and he's running. And he runs down to Beit Ami, and he cuts down there, and then he skips down a side road. And finally, you know, he realizes he's not going to leap. I know I'm old, and I look out of shape, and I am, but I don't know. You have adrenaline, and, you know, so he stops, and he turns around. He starts walking towards me. We're, like, way down some of the back streets there. And I was like, uh-oh. Because he's bigger than me. He's younger than me. And he just threw a bigger rock. So he obviously doesn't really have qualms with hurting people. And then Danny's coming with his phone. He's kind of off in the distance. But he's coming. He's trying to call the police. But you know how the police are here. They're like that. And he's coming, and I just kind of come up to him, and I'm waiting to get hit. I know it's coming. But, you know, he's talking like, well, what's your problem? Like, don't you follow Jesus? Jesus says, love your enemies and, you know, turn the other cheek. And I'm like, yeah, but God also is a God of justice, and you've got to go to jail. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Why did you just do that? What is your problem? And he goes on to basically say, in his words, that he loved God. He threw the rock because he loved God. Because this is the holy city. What we represent here is blasphemy. It's, you know, and he's not the only person who thinks like that. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. And he said he loved God so much that he doesn't love a woman, he doesn't love money, he doesn't love anything that you would normally think of in life. You know, when you talk to these intellectuals or philosophers, you know, if we could just educate people, if we could just get them enough money, get them a job, you know, they're going to just change. And he's like, no, don't give me the money. Don't give me the 70 virgins. Don't give me the whatever it is that people have in their mind that will kind of fulfill them. He's like, I did this because I love God. And so immediately, what do I start quoting? Vavta et Adonai Elohecha bechol levavcha uvechol nafshecha uvechol meodecha vavta lerecha kmocha. You know, and I'm like, that is what God commands, you know. Love your neighbor as yourself is part of the Shema, part of your creed as a religious Jew. And, you know, he didn't have much to say to that except, you know, it doesn't matter. You're a bunch of pagans. So, the next Shabbat, what's the topic? However Ronnie speaks. The topic is, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets. It was just fitting. That was March 7th. Okay. The next week, COVID-19 is breaking out in Israel more, and the government's starting to freak out, and they don't know what they're doing. And we decide as leadership to not have a service because of what is expected with the dangers with the people who are more vulnerable to the virus. So we canceled the service. I think we could have had the service that day. I think it was the next day where they brought the limit on the amount of people. But anyways, that was our first service. And Nick Aronson did the sermon that day. And he was speaking on Isaiah, suffering servant. And there was this line in there that he had, in God's plan, suffering is not wasted. Suffering is not wasted. And the rest is history from that point. We have 14 weeks of these online services. Thank you, Justin Bolin, who was faithful to put them up online and to edit them together. We couldn't have done it without him in the way that it was done and the sacrifice. And probably a lot of you remember Claire Fawn's message over right before Easter, where she's talking on the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, the whole resurrection is set in a context of fear and doubt. He's dead. The Messiah's dead. What are we going to do? How is this going to, what are we going to do? It's over. And in a way, today, as we sit in this room looking strange with these masks on our face and maybe feeling disconnected, cut off, our world has been changed. And I remember when it first all happened, like, yeah, we're going to have a quarantine in a couple months, and then, you know, we're going to blow through this thing. And now it's going to be longer. It's going to be maybe a couple years. People always call me the negative person, so I don't want to try to put out the negative possibility, but it's not going to happen. We're not going to be done anytime soon, as we're all seeing. And so we've got this unknown. We don't know when this is going to stop. There's a lot of fear, and the experts don't know, right? What are the best measures of protection? At first, they said don't wear masks. Now we do wear masks. How do we live safely or work safely? Or more importantly, how do we have a community safely? Because we don't want to give Gemma the virus, right? Or Valerie or whoever, because that's the community that could be the most vulnerable. And so we've had these online services. And we're... You know, what does it mean to be a community? Can you have a virtual community where we're not meeting together and we're not doing something together? And so you'll hear things once in a while, like, okay, well, is this what our church is, or is this what that church is? Is this all we are? But that's actually good. It's when I don't hear anything from anyone that I wonder, like, well, they obviously, that person doesn't even care about our community. You know, like in the sense of, you know, like if you have a child, you ask about your child. Is my child getting their three meals wherever they are? But if you hear nothing, then like, well, maybe that mother doesn't really care. All these questions start to rise up. Well, what is it? Why are we coming here? Is it because it's in English? Is it because my family comes here? Is it because I've always come here? There's all these things where you can just say, well, maybe that's really why I come here. And so they all kind of come up, and fear kind of brings these things up. And even this whole thing where we have to, like, stay arms apart, do you see the psychology of that? Like, it's basically keeping us physically apart, but also emotionally, we start to see ourselves apart. And relationally, there's a distance there. And I know we got smartphones, and we got Zoom, and we have all of this technology that still allows us to connect, but it's not the same. Does everybody agree on that one? Yeah? And so confusion, fear, it's brought out depression. It's brought out sadness. It's brought out loneliness. I mean, you could fill in your blanks. And on top of that, when things are happening now in society, like what we've had in America recently with the white police officer with the knee on a black man's neck who dies, you know, things are brought out into the light, and people are reacting in a more acute way. And I mean, people have always reacted, but now it's gotten more almost desperate. And aggression, violence, and So I want to bring all this together now and just say, you know, fear of death, fear of change, fear of others, you know, leads to these situations. And the walls, we have these walls that encircle our societies, and the walls protect us, these boundaries, these rules, these regulations, but these walls can also separate us. And so this is what we're dealing with now. People having to figure out, what are we going to do with these walls? Are we just going to tear them up and go crazy? Are we going to move them a little bit? Are we going to reshape them? But it's all of it is change. And that's, I think, a lot of what people are reacting to. We're scared of change, and we're scared of the unknown. So Canada, 2 weeks ago, she did our first service back here. What was the title, or what was the theme? Love, right? It's all about love. And she started off by reading from 1 Corinthians 13. Last week, Danny. Fear. Yeah, he spoke last week, and on trying to talk with people you don't agree with and listen to them, and fear was the big reason he brought up. And he ended with this verse, and I want to read it. 1 John 4:18. This is what Danny read. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. All fear. And that's how he ended his sermon. He ended with that verse. This morning, I want to continue with Danny's sermon, where he left off, and where Kennedy's sermon started off, a little round the tree. And I just want to bring up one point. That's it. So the world's got a lot of fear in it right now with the virus. Things aren't going our way. We're out of control. We lack control. We don't know. It's kind of like having a baby. Unless you have a C-section or something, you don't actually have control of when that baby is coming. And in a sense, we're all pregnant right now. We're pregnant with fear. We're pregnant with our worst, this could happen, or this could happen. I'll just give a short example. My family was going to travel to America in March for my brother's wedding. It got canceled. My brother still got married, but we couldn't go. Like probably a lot of people in here might have had travel plans. And so then we tried to schedule to go actually in the next couple of days. But that also has been canceled because we were going to another wedding as well in the Netherlands. And you know, our kids are just like, we hate Corona, you know, because it's made their summer, like they got to go to summer school now. And, Kaitanot. And because everything is just, well, we hope to do this, but okay, we can't do it. And, so things aren't going our way. If you can imagine, like kids, we're all little kids. The experts, the governments, they're trying to help us. Every week they're trying to change things based off of what they now learned. And we as followers of Jesus, you know, the irony is we're the ones who are supposed to have the hope of truth. We're the ones who are supposed to be the most confident and the most peaceful and the most everything that the world needs. But how many of you could be like my kids who are like, what? You know, like, I thought you were good, God. I don't understand. Because we have that song, He's a Good, Good Father. It's who you are. But how many of you might be thinking right now, He's an abusive father? We have a friend that was getting married, and she's had a recent spat of cancer, and she just went to a test on last week, and there was 3 spots in her lungs. And I mean, they don't know what it is, but she's getting married next week. And so again, you might have similar cases in your own lives where it's like, how are you a good father? Isn't this a time to celebrate? Isn't this a time for salvation? And so Danny, that verse, 1 John 4:18, what's that context of that perfect love? It casts out all fear. If you go and you read 1 John 4, if you have your Bibles, it's talking about judgment. It's talking about punishment. Essentially, if you are saved, if you have this relationship with the Lord, you have nothing to fear. And I think death kind of sums all of this up. A few weeks ago, in the middle of the night, I just had one of these. I don't know if you have them too. You're kind of sleeping, and then you wake up, and all of a sudden, the world is. You suddenly feel like what it could be to die at that moment. And up until then, I don't think about death. That's just kind of like it just never is a real reality. And then every once in a while, maybe I've had it three times in my life where it's like, whoa, this is scary. This is real. And so I think death, which is essentially the coronavirus, it's this fear of death. Death is the ultimate change. It's the ultimate change. And it's the ultimate fear. And so, you know, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, death, where is your sting? That's what the resurrection is all about. But death is still here. It's much a part of this world. So 1 John 4 says the opposite of fear is confidence. Confidence. Why do we have confidence? You read 1 John 4, it says because we know Jesus. It's because he knows us. We have a relationship. And so going all the way back to what we just started, the Bible's all about relationship. It's all about these relationships. And we have this relationship because God loved us first. It says it throughout the Bible. We didn't choose to love God. He loved us. Just like we didn't create God, he created us. God is the initiator for this love. Because of his deep, deep love, we love him. Because of that love, that's where we have this confidence. And so when these hard times are coming and we don't know what's happening, we don't have to be delusional. Oh, yeah, it's great. You know, it's all going to be great and it's all going to work out. We don't have to ignore reality, but we can look at those coldest and darkest days in the eyes. And we can still see God's love there. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's not easy. It's not in the flesh. It's not in the natural. But we can look and see God's love. And, you know, it goes all the way back. The Holocaust is always brought up as the ultimate example of evil and the ultimate example of where is God. And God is everywhere. And he was in Auschwitz. And that's just how it is. We can't explain it, but his love is bigger than anything, any type of death, any type of hate that the world or the devil brings. So I just want to end with this morning. 1 John 2:3. We know that we know him, and this is the title of the message. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. Verse 7, dear friends, I am not writing you a new commandment, but an old commandment. Verse 9, what is that commandment? Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother is still in the darkness. And anyone who loves a brother lives in the light. And you know, that commandment is what we say every morning, except not this morning. Love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18. This is what John is referring to. Love your neighbor as yourself. God is love. Jesus said all the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments that we say every Shabbat. Paul said, he said, I don't care about the other commandments, but they can all be summed up in that one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfillment of the Torah, of the entire law. And we all know Jesus. He took it even farther, and Danny likes to talk about the Good Samaritan parable. And Jesus said, you've heard love your neighbor. I say love your enemy. And the thing is the enemies are not just the people out there burning down society, if that's what you're afraid of. Maybe you're afraid of society. Maybe they're your enemies, right? Because it depends on what angle you're coming from. But there's enemies among us in the way we treat each other. And Paul alludes to this in Galatians 5. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to this. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And so if you read the whole epistle of 1 John, the whole thing's about love. And it's love of God, and it's the love of your neighbor or your brother. And essentially John says, if you can't do that, then there's nothing there. It's empty. So during these COVID-19 days, when we feel awkward, where we might have questions, I'm going to have lots of questions. You can come and counsel me, help me out. God's going to be pushing us to engage the world around us in a different way that's going to make us feel uncomfortable, I think. We're going to have conversations, and it's not going to be us telling people stuff all the time. We just might be listening, right? Ecclesiastes 3, a time to be silent, a time to speak. But what God is going to be commanding us is to build relationships. And I'm going to even say relationships among each other. We might think we have relationships now. Hey, how's it going? You know, whatever. But that's not wrong. We're busy. It's not like we mean ill will. We're all on our smartphones. But we're gonna have cancer. We're gonna have the real things that the world has. It's not going away. Just because the coronavirus is here, it's not flu is going to kill more people maybe this year because people are not going to be treated as well because everybody's worried about the coronavirus. There's going to be other things happening, and there's going to be death. But we're there to be what God's called us to be that bridge. And so our battle is not going to be against the anarchists. They're not going to be against the atheists. It's not going to be against whatever it is you want to put them in there. In a sense, a lot of it's going to be with each other. And not with like sticks and stones, but just with having a relationship. And really, as Danny was saying, try to understand other people and try to build relationships. Okay, so here's the close. You remember the guy throws the rock through the glass, and he said he did it because he loved God. And according to Jesus, you can't love God by giving your life for him. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, what did he say? Even if I give my body to be burned, without love, it means nothing. If we do not love others, if we do not love each other, if we do not love our enemies, God help us, we can't do it to follow Jesus. And This is how perfect love casts out fear. This is how fear, judgment, condemnation, whatever it is that hangs heavy on us, that destroys us, it's that love of God that loves others. That is how the fear leaves us. That's how the devil flees. So I just want to close with Danny's quote from 1 John 4. I'm just going to add on the last few verses that he forgot to mention. 1 John 4, 18 to 21. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother. So we're going to close here with communion. And obviously this is a time of contemplation and to be thinking about our own relationships. And maybe not necessarily what we've done to someone, because in a sense, if we're all isolated at home, we can't really do anything bad to anybody. But it could be what we haven't done. Like what James says, if you know something to do and you don't do it, it's sin. And so maybe think about for this week, what's God calling us to do? Maybe just one little thing for someone else. It could even just be a phone call. But maybe the Pribbles, would you like to? Danny, should we? Eva, do you want to? We'll pass it out to everyone. And that way there's no contamination.
The Holy Heart was broken, sent from the Father's side. The Son of God forsaken, the Holy Sacrifice. The Holy Lamb was stricken, abandoned and alone.
So I just want to read from 1 Corinthians 10, 23, 24, and 31, and then 1 Corinthians 11, 26, 27, to 29, and then 24 and 25. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. God, we just ask that you would guide us this week. Help us to ask for more of your presence in the little things. Help us to desire you in the places that are hard. Help us to be aware when you whisper to us. When we eat and when we drink, not just in a communion, but every meal that we have, help us to be thankful and help us to be aware of others and their needs. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Thank you for loving us. Amen. Shabbat shalom.